hey, what's up? Like, totally time for 90210.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the 90210 show. My name is Mark. With me, as always, is my wife, Carol. How are you doing today, Carol?
Hey, what's up?
Not much. It's been a good week here. It is March 11th, 1999. And you were all dancing and happy and smiling, and so I decided to just stone-face you during the entire opening.
Yeah, if you guys wonder why we're laughing every time the show starts, because we're always fucking with each other.
We're always doing some weird faces or something.
Right, right. We have fun here.
We're like Klingons or whatever, you know. You ever do that, the success arms? Success arms!
No.
You know, like, where, like, a lobster will, like, raise its success arms.
I didn't know lobsters do that either. Yeah. Lobsters and Klingons raise their arms. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of similarities between lobsters and Klingons.
Okay.
Hard outer carapaces.
Sure.
They live for fighting or whatever they do in Star Trek. It's funny, on Star Trek, like, originally, Klingons were just, like, generic bad guys with green face paint.
They were green?
Yeah, like, they didn't look like they look in Next Generation.
Hmm.
They were just, they didn't have any ridges on their heads or anything. It was just, like, clearly just some dude with green face paint on.
Weird.
And they were the Klingons, right? And then in Next Gen, like, it actually in, I think, Star Trek 1, the original motion picture, they change their makeup to with that, like, the ridge thing and then everything.
Hmm.
And then, obviously, in part three, with Krug or whatever his name was, or Krav, whatever. I think it was Krug, like the guy in Last House on the Left.
Ugh.
He was one of the, like, it was the one Christopher Lloyd played that killed Kirk's son.
Okay.
Anyway, so that it was big there, and they get a little more in their backstory, but then they don't really fully flesh out what Klingons are until the Next Generation.
You know, you're making me want to, like, rewatch movies and stuff.
Good.
Like, we have so much time to rewatch Star Wars movies.
Star Trek.
Whatever.
You just offended every fan base possible.
Right? Those space movies.
But speaking of space movies, we watched 90210.
Yes.
A movie about a bunch of people who need to be shot into space.
Yeah, pretty much.
What did you think of this episode of 90210?
I mean, honestly, the show is just getting kind of ridiculous. It's mm-hmm. like the drama is too much.
Yeah.
And everybody is, like, miserable all of the time. I miss, like, when they were in high school mm-hmm. and, like, sometimes they were happy, smiling, laughing.
Right.
None of that
smiling
anymore.
Smiling, happy people.
Like, I miss, like, when the girls would just go shopping and, like, meet a guy at the mall or whatever, you know?
Like, well, that kind of happens.
It does, but it's so much more serious.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Donna and Kelly.
Uh-huh. We'll start with Donna and Kelly, I guess.
I guess. I don't know. Kelly is really down about, like, feeling like her life's not going anywhere. What is she going to do? What if she never finds anything that she likes to do again?
Right. Why did you quit your job if you didn't have, if you were like, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do?
Yeah. Well, wait, but they were closing down the clinic, weren't they?
No.
No. She just quit because she didn't want to fire the nurse?
Yes.
That's stupid.
She said she'd had enough of it.
Yeah.
She'd done enough good there. And Brandon is off in New York. He's been there for 3 days interviewing.
Mm-hmm. And she hasn't heard from him.
Right, for this newspaper job.
Which, like, Donna's trying to make her feel better, but I feel like she has to, either they're both real stupid, mm-hmm. or they're just, Donna's trying to make her delusional so she feels better, but she's like, maybe it went so bad he just doesn't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's having fun. He's living it up. He's not even thinking about you.
They're not even together.
Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, she's all down, and Donna's like,
Maybe he's off fucking that girl that wrote that book about the guardian angels or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
The one he met in Texas. She went to New York, right?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, maybe. Oh, my God. It'd be funny if, like, they made him meet her in that giant city.
I think he's gone.
You think, huh?
He didn't appear in this episode at all, And in the opening credits, we suddenly get a new opening credit face.
I don't know why they do that.
Who is someone that we meet in this episode.
Like, they should... That's a huge spoiler that this is going to be an important character. Why don't they wait until they're more established to put them in the opening credits?
I don't know. And how... Why does he get... Why does he get a opening credit, like, appearance?
Right.
Like, immediately. So he's obviously going to be a main cast member.
And it doesn't even... Like, they don't even leave it off that way. Well, let's explain. Okay, yeah, so yeah. The girls go shopping.
Yeah. Because Donna needs to work.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, I've got this to do with my dresses, that to do with my dresses. And Kelly's like, no, fuck that.
Yeah.
I'm sad. We're going to go out and get coffee.
Yeah, Donna's in a bad mood because of Noah. Yeah, and because yeah.
Noah won't talk to her about his dad's death.
So, yeah, Kelly basically forces her. And like, I'm like, you're being fucking annoying. Like, mm-hmm. She's like, just leave me alone, basically. And Kelly's like, no. Come with me.
Seriously, she asks her like 7 times.
Mm-hmm. So they go, they're wandering around, they're drinking cappuccino, and Kelly sees some guy and just stops and wets her pants, apparently. Like, just in like mid-step, she's just like, wait a minute. And she's like, I want cappuccino. And she has one in her hand.
She's holding a coffee.
Yeah, and Donna's like, you already have it. She's like, hold it.
I kind of want cappuccino right now.
Yeah, me too. And she walks in there because it's like a place that sells cappuccino, but they also sell like magazines and stuff. So why couldn't you just pretend to be buying a magazine, you weirdo?
And which is what they do. Magazine
they
rack.
Don't go buy cappuccino. So why are you making Donna hold 2 cappuccinos, you bitch?
And it's like, it's the stupidest thing too, because they're at this whatever magazine stand, mm-hmm. which is just out in the open with no cash register. Like, this is just like a license to steal magazines.
Exactly. And yeah, it's like, what is this? Like, food court? Like, what is this place?
I don't know. But yeah, there's just tables sitting around there and everything.
I know what it is.
What?
It's the set piece from when they were in college and they used to eat at the, you know, commons
You're
area.
You're right. You're
and
right.
They just kind of redecorated it.
You're right. It is.
Sorry. Go ahead.
So they, the Eagle's Nest or whatever the fuck yeah. it was called. So they go in and stand in front of the magazine stand turned right at his table and they're mm-hmm. like, oh, be conspicuous, and they're like, she's like, oh, half covering her face with a magazine and like you know, just staring at him.
Lucky for them, he doesn't look at them because they're being weirdos.
Yeah, lucky for them, he's completely oblivious.
And he walks away, and in a normal situation that would be the end of it.
Donna's like, I need to work, and she goes, we are working. Look, there's a place for lease. Why don't you make your own, why don't you have your own boutique of Donna dresses?
And Donna says no, and Kelly railroads her again. And it's just like, no, it's happening. And the next thing we know, they're fucking signing papers.
I really don't like this. Like, I really do not like Kelly at all.
No, she's a bully.
Yeah.
Like,
she's a bully, and she's like, all of a sudden she's like Miss Morals, and like everything has to be the way I think it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And no one can, I don't care about anybody else's opinions.
Yeah, so now Donna has to, like, fill a store with her designs.
Well,
like, that, there's no pressure there.
Right. But she calls up the lease. Donna's like, no, I don't want to do it. And she calls up the leasing place, and she's like, yeah, I want to see the thing. And then we cut to them, you know, doing the, and the girl's like, it's a standard lease, 3 years, first months, last months, blah, 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 blah. So a 3-year commitment, wow. by the way. But I think commercial leasing is like that. And she's like, Donna's like, no, we're not doing it. And Kelly goes, we'll let you know by the end of today. And she's like, I have people that I'm showing tomorrow. So if I'm going to cancel those appointments, I need to know, by 6:00. And she's like, okay. And then that guy that they were wedding themselves over,
right.
comes down and is like, hey, you guys getting this? And Donna again goes, no.
And Kelly says yes.
And, well, yeah, and Donna gets a call and has to go. We'll get to that later.
Mm-hmm.
But she starts talking to the guy, and the guy's like, I'm a lawyer.
Yep. Yeah.
And someone's in need of a lawyer. And Kelly goes, well, he's got a lawyer now.
Yeah.
She just makes that decision, again,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. She is just, like, control freak in charge of everything. So I guess we should talk about Noah's story.
Yeah. It intertwines a lot with this.
Yeah. So Noah is drinking a lot.
Yeah.
Noah, we're at starting out with, like, he's getting ready to go to his dad's funeral. And he's supposed to give the eulogy. Mm-hmm. And
one of the eulogies, anyway. His mom gives a eulogy,
thank
too.
God.
No kidding.
I don't think we actually see him before the funeral, but it was just the girls were talking about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Donna wants Kelly to go with her for moral support because mm-hmm. he's being weird, I guess.
Yeah.
So whatever, he's literally drinking at the funeral, and he gives a shitty eulogy.
Well, he gets up there, he's got this paper, and he's like, my father, my dad. And then he puts the paper away, and he's like, yeah, my dad was a guy, and he was a titan of business, and my dad, whatever his name was, he said his name, 1944 to 1998, he liked his martinis dry with three olives.
That's like a big thing. Like, he's brought up how he likes his martinis so many times. Mm. The character, him, the dad character brought it up. Now Noah's bringing it up. It's weird.
Yeah. Maybe it's a Ray Wise thing. I don't know.
I don't know. But, yeah. So he decides to eulogize him by talking about his favorite drink.
Mm-hmm.
Then walks away.
And starts drinking out of a flask.
Yeah.
Why is that the universal sign of alcoholism, by the way? Just having a flask?
I think because it makes your alcohol portable.
I mean,
like, because people don't generally carry around bottles, but people do carry around flasks.
It's still illegal, though.
Yeah. Yeah, why do they even sell them?
I don't know.
My dad had one that had scotch on one side and bourbon on the other, and it was, like, engraved with his initials and everything.
Nice.
And he was an alcoholic, so.
And his initials were VSOP.
What the hell's that?
It's a thing for whiskey, I think, or bourbon.
VSOP.
Yeah, it stands for very standard old pale or something like that.
Interesting.
But it's a whiskey thing.
Yeah.
Or whatever, a bourbon thing.
But yeah, do you think that Noah is a full-on alcoholic, or do you think that Noah is just drinking because he's upset?
He's a situational alcoholic.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously he has a problem at this point, but it's like, mm-hmm. I don't think he had a problem before his dad died. I don't remember that being, like,
not
any kind of an issue.
Yeah, not that they let us in on.
So, I feel like he's kind of just gone off the rails because he's grieving, and it may not be that he is a full-on alcoholic.
Yeah, I can see that.
But I guess we'll see. So then later he is driving drunk, drinking out of his flask while driving.
Driving, yeah. Not even drinking and driving, drinking while driving.
Like, so stupid. Mm-hmm. And apparently he was driving erratically, so the police pulled him over.
Yeah.
He tries to hide the flask under his coat.
Right.
Like, that's not gonna work, dude.
And so they do a field sobriety test. They're like, hey, count backwards from 100, and he's like, 100, 99, 98, 96, 97. I count good.
And then he's supposed to recite the alphabet, but he does it in this, like, fucked up, sad way, wherever, it, like, mean at first. Mean at first. He's like, A for, not, like, asshole, I don't know, but.
It was something, I don't remember what it was. A for angering.
Yeah.
B for badge. C for cop. And then he's like, okay, we're going to arrest you. And he goes, but you didn't let me get to D. D for dad.
Dead.
D for death.
Death. Right.
It's like he's having an existential crisis while he's getting arrested. Did I ever tell you, I had a friend who got pulled over who was not drinking, but he was acting so weird because he was a weird guy that they thought maybe he was drunk. And they were like, Say the alphabet for us. And he goes, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And they go, no, don't sing it. Just say it. And he goes, okay. A, B, C. And they're like, no, don't sing it slowly. Just say it.
I don't think I could do that. I don't think I could recite the alphabet without singing it.
So he's like, A, B, C.
Yeah, those sobriety tests are stupid. I don't know why they don't just breathalyze people.
Yeah.
Like, why even do it?
Apparently they did breathalyze him just off camera because mm-hmm. that comes up later.
But, like, I guess that's to decide whether or not to breathalyze. But
why? I guess maybe they cuffed him and then breathalyzed him. I don't know.
Because he said you're under arrest for, you know, driving under the influence. And it's like, they don't really know. Like, he could have been on drugs. I guess that's still under the influence, though.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, he was definitely impaired. He was slurring his words and stuff.
Oh, yeah. He seemed drunk.
Yeah. So, yeah.
He gets arrested.
He gets arrested. And so that's why Donna gets a call when her and Kelly are looking at this place. And it's not from him. It's from Valerie. Because he called Valerie.
He called Valerie instead.
He used his one phone call on Valerie.
That's risky. Because Valerie might just be like, fuck you.
Well, all she did was tell Donna. She didn't do anything for him.
Oh, yeah.
She just passed it along.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's she supposed to do?
I don't know. He wanted her to bail him out or whatever.
Give me my money that I won in that settlement that we never talk about anymore.
Right. So, yeah. So Donna goes over there. Kelly hires this lawyer they just met who she knows nothing about for
just
a guy.
Just that he's pants-wettingly handsome, I guess.
I guess.
He looks like such a standard guy. I mean, doesn't he? Is he really attractive?
He's slightly above average. He's not like super hot, but he's slightly above average. I'll say that.
Yeah.
But not as good looking as they're behaving. Similar but at haircut. Least he is good looking. It's not like Noah where they're all fawning over him and he's ugly.
Sure.
That was annoying.
Similar haircut to me.
Eh. What?
Oh, you think his hair is better than mine?
Oh, similar haircut to you.
Yeah.
I thought you meant to Noah. No. Like it was similar to you, like in your opinion.
No.
No, I can see that, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've lost my train of thought now.
He calls Donna. Well, Valerie calls Donna, and Donna has to leave. And what's her name? Kelly's like, you're our lawyer now.
Which,
I know
like,
nothing about you.
So he shows up at the arraignment. And Noah's like, Noah, who are you?
Because Noah didn't hire a lawyer. By the way, how well do the courts in Beverly Hills work? Because he gets arraigned the next morning. And because, I mean, that's a big thing. Like, if you don't post bail or whatever, and obviously he could if he wanted to, but a lot of people don't have enough money to post bail and stuff like that. So if he couldn't post bail or whatever, then he has to stay in prison. And, you know, they do the arraignment, and, like, he'd have to stay in prison until the trial, unless he bails out. So, like, being speedy is really advantageous to people, but, like, how fucking fast are these courts? He gets arraigned the next day. The guy shows up there, and he's like, yeah, I'm his lawyer. And Noah's just like, what the fuck? Because he's like, I didn't hire a lawyer. Donna goes, I did. And it's like, no, Kelly did, but whatever. And he's like, yeah, I haven't had a chance to talk to my client yet. And he goes, not guilty.
Yeah.
And then the judge is just like, okay, trial's tomorrow at 2.
Yeah, that's
what?
Crazy.
How empty is your docket that you can just schedule a trial tomorrow? By the way, usually the clerk does that.
Yeah.
The judge would look over and be like, what do we have open? And the clerk would let her know.
Well, and my issue with this, too, is that Noah's like, I didn't hire a lawyer. Sure, but he should have had a public defender. Like, I went to an arraignment before for a friend. And they had a public defender.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, this was kind of funny. I went up to the one lawyer in the room. There's like 10 people waiting to, you know, do their thing. And I'm like, hey, are you his lawyer? And they're like, yeah. And then I was like telling him stuff. And he like perked up like I'd never seen. Like this was a person who looked like the soul had been sucked out of their body. Like they have no life. And then all of a sudden, like, wait a minute, I might be able to do something to help somebody, to get somebody out of here. Like, it was so exciting.
But yeah, you can waive that. You can waive your right to an attorney. But, I mean, like, yeah, you'd at least get a public defender. He's got enough money. He could hire whatever lawyer he wants.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, I guess just to say not guilty, he didn't really need a lawyer there.
No, I guess not. I mean, and apparently it doesn't matter. The lawyer didn't have to do anything to try to get the trial moved up or anything. They were just ready tomorrow.
Yeah. Maybe it's just because he has money. Like, just knowing he has money does it for him. I don't know.
I don't know.
But, yeah, so Noah is being kind of a dick the whole episode. Like, he doesn't want to talk to me. But it's also obvious, just like last episode, he's not okay.
Right.
Like, nobody seems concerned the way they should be. Like, they're worried about, oh, he's got legal trouble now. Like, he's very depressed.
Yeah. Was drinking and driving a normal thing for him? Is shooting a gun up in the air a normal thing for him? You know, like, hey, he's selling his shit and stuff like that. He's living in his bar. None of this is normal.
No. And nobody seems to, I mean, except Donna. Donna cares, of course, because yeah, she's Donna.
Yeah, she's trying to care anyway.
She wants, you know, she's, you know, wanting him to talk to her, but he's not ready. Okay.
He keeps pushing her away.
Mm-hmm. But he needs, like, professional help.
Yeah, for sure.
So, okay, forgive me. We literally just watched this, so I should know the answer to this question. Do they do, they do the trial, right?
Yes. Yep, they do.
Okay, after the I remember now.
After the arraignment, the lawyer talks to him, and he's like, hey, fucking, my fee's $300 an hour because you're a drunk driver, and I don't like people in a drunk driving on my roads or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, also probably because, you know, you're an oil baron, but whatever.
And then so they go to the trial, and the lawyer argues in the trial. He's like, yeah, the breathalyzer, though, was like, you know, it wasn't properly calibrated and blah, 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 blah. And the judge is like, are you really trying to fucking get a technicality here or whatever? And she's like, he had an open container. He was swerving.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? But apparently he only blew a .09, which is not that
high. That's not that high, no. I mean, at least in this state, legally intoxicated is .8.
Yeah, I think so. 8.9, I think. Is it 8 or 8.9?
8. Okay. It's 80. 80 okay. Or .8.
Okay. I think it's
0.08, I guess.
I think it's 8.9. I honestly do, but we'll agree to disagree. We'll go down to the library later.
Yeah, figure that out.
Yep. Anyway, so it's very close. Either way, it's very close. What the fuck? What, do you want to have a bet?
It's just that, like, part of my job is to know that. Mm-hmm. So.
But, yeah, okay, there's things you're not factoring in. But okay, I'll bet if you want to bet. Would you like to bet?
Okay, but it's only a half an hour, not an hour.
Okay, half an hour, we'll bet.
All right.
It's a half an hour of oral sex, everybody.
No. Massages.
That's our normal bet, is a massage. Anyway, so, what was I saying? Oh, so he tries to argue a technicality, and the judge is like, no, you know what, forget this. $1,000 fine, a year probation, and he's got to go to 12 AA meetings. And
and a 90-day program.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Oh, I agree. It's a big deal. Because
that's going to be like residential, I bet.
Well, here's the thing. It's never going to matter. It's something that the writers like heard or whatever. You know, like they did like a little bit of research or whatever. And they're like, what words should the judge say? And they're like, okay, these are the words the judge say. He's not going away for 90 days.
It's not going away. Like going to residential treatment, though.
But doesn't he have to live there?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's not going to happen. That would impact the story too much. So none of that's going to matter. It's all just like there are vague consequences, so kids don't think you can just drink and drive and do and get away with it or whatever. But none of that's actually going to matter in the show.
Yeah,
we'll see. Unless they're really planning on getting rid of him, I don't know.
I think they should.
I think they should too, but I don't think it's going to happen.
When the police pulled him over, I was like, oh, maybe he's leaving.
He pulls out the gun. They start shooting him.
Oh my God, that would have been like hilarious if they found the gun in his car too.
Right.
His dad's gun that he's just, not even registered.
They just empty their clips into him.
Oh God. That was a hell of an image. Anyway.
Noah would have been all like, oh, I was going to use it all. anyway, so... I love my Noah voice. I know you hate it. That's part of why I like it.
Well, just because it's not accurate.
Well, okay, if you want me to do a perfect impression of Noah? Hey, Donna.
Noah!
Anyway, so... I love how you said Noah as if, like, if I did a perfect impression of Noah, he'd appear before us. No! Don't!
Oh, my God!
That completes the prophecy as foretold. Oh, she's dead, everyone.
I'm going to pee.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway.
Whew, okay.
So he gets away with it or whatever, and the lawyer's like, Noah's like, I appreciate that. And he's like, yeah, I'd appreciate $1,100. Give it to me. He keeps talking about how he's like...
broke.
Yeah. He's broke or whatever. And... Noah's like, what the fuck? And he's like, hey, you're a drunk driver, and I almost got you off on a technicality. That was, you know, I would have felt like shit or whatever. And Noah's like, oh, a lawyer with a conscience or whatever. Who knew? So he leaves, and that's Like, that's basically the end of Noah's storyline.
No.
He says he wants to have a conversation with Donna when he's drunk, but, like, does that ever come back up?
He shows up at her house and, yeah, tries to talk to her and wants her to let him in, and she won't. Yeah.
Before the arraignment.
She's like...
trial.
Oh, was it before the trial?
It was right before the trial, yeah. Because she was like, you're supposed to be in trial tomorrow. You're fucking drunk.
Yeah. But she's like, I'll be there for you and I'll listen to you anytime you want when you're sober. Mm-hmm. Like, what... Why are you setting this boundary with him right now? You've been begging him to talk to you. He's going through something. Just talk to your boyfriend.
It is kind of weird because it's like, it's not like he's like, let's fuck or whatever. He wants to talk. He's like, is it really this easy for people? They can just like talk about it. Obviously, he has a very hard time opening up. Maybe being drunk is helping him open up a little bit more. Not that that's the most healthy way to deal with it, but at least to get the ball rolling.
I mean, it's not like this is an official therapy session or something, Donna. Right? Come on.
Jeez. But yeah. But I think that's pretty much the end of his storyline, right?
Yes. Notice
that's kind of where we leave things.
Yes. So back to Donna and Kelly.
Yes.
So Kelly does actually rent this space.
Yep.
I don't know that Donna ever agreed to be on board with this.
Well, this is the new thing, is that I believe Kelly went from, like, let me help as many people as possible and use this social work degree or whatever degree that she got to try to help people, to now she's going to be like, I'm gonna manage your store for you. What?
Mm-hmm.
She's just going around doing secretarial work. What did you go to school for?
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. So this lawyer guy keeps hanging around because he works upstairs.
Mm-hmm. He wants a picture with her, so they take a picture together.
Which is weird. And he's like, we're marking the occasion because, you know, she just got the place. And she gets upset with him because some guy comes in.
Yeah, I recognized him, too. I couldn't... This was a rare moment where the show and I were in synchronicity, where the guy shows up and he's like, hey. And he's like, oh, it's one of my clients. Like, his wife's divorcing him and she's trying to get full custody of the child, but he's fighting to get partial custody or whatever, like joint custody or whatever. And he shows up and I'm like, he looks very familiar. And I was thinking like, maybe I've seen him on a different show or something like that. I was like, this guy looks really familiar. And Kelly says the same thing, like, oh, you look so familiar to me. And I'm like, okay, so this is somebody. Who was this? I was like, was this the guy that raped her way back in like season, or attempted raped her way back in season one at that Halloween party?
That would be a really far back callback. Yeah.
A far callback.
So it turns out that he is the husband that was abusing that woman when she came into Kelly's clinic.
Yeah, it was like last season and yeah. He was the wife beater.
So Kelly...
That got away because the wife wouldn't press charges.
Yeah.
But apparently she's divorcing him now.
Well, that's good. Good for her.
Yeah.
So Kelly's telling the lawyer, like, listen, this guy abused his wife. Like, I was... He's like, is there documentation? Did she press charges? And she's like, no. He's like, well, there's nothing. That doesn't help me.
Right.
And she's like, are you still going to represent him? And he's like, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. So I think that when he was asking if there was documentation and stuff like that, I think he was thinking to himself, oh, I could I could recuse myself and point the I don't even know if this is legal or not, but recuse myself and point the prosecutor, the other person's lawyer in the right direction. By the way, when you're a lawyer, you usually specialize in stuff like this is a family law matter, but it doesn't seem like he's a family law lawyer.
No, he even says something about like he doesn't like family law or something.
Yeah, because he was talking about how he was like, he knows a bunch of plumbers and electricians and shit like that are felons that he like got off or helped or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it seems like he's a criminal defense attorney, which is a very specific type of law, which is not family law.
Yeah.
I don't think there's necessarily anything stopping a lawyer from practicing the occasional family law case or whatever. I don't know a ton about lawyering, but I don't think there's any restrictions on that. I think if you're a lawyer, you can do whatever, basically.
Yeah.
But people specialize because there's so much minutiae when it comes to every different kind of law, whether it's corporate, whether it's environmental, whether it's family law, whether it's criminal, whether it's constitutional. There's just, like, tons of different things that you need to know, and you can't expect to be prepared for just any scenario. You'd have to know so much.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, so he's representing him. I think, but like I said, I think maybe he was thinking like, oh, if there's documentation, then I can, you know, fuck this guy over, whatever.
Right.
But when she said no, he's like, oh, okay. She's like, he's like, well, I'm going to defend him. And she's like, oh, you're an asshole.
Yeah, which is stupid.
Don't defend him. He's a wife beater. And he's like, look, the Constitution guarantees a defense for everybody. And that's what my job is. And she's like, oh, no, fuck you. I don't even want to look at you anymore.
Yeah, because, you know, Kelly's got to be all high and mighty over everybody.
And that's the thing is, like, lawyers can't make judgment calls like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally against their oath. Every person is entitled to a strenuous defense. That's how it's worded.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they start making judgments, then what's to stop them from thinking someone who's innocent is guilty and just giving them a half-hearted defense?
Right.
And then, you know, like, those things are meant not to protect the guilty, but to protect the innocent.
Exactly.
Because the assumption is that more innocent people, you know, come to trial than guilty or whatever.
Hmm.
And the assumption also is that it's better for, like, 10 guilty people to go free than for one innocent person to go to jail and be in jail for, who knows, 10 years or whatever.
Right.
Like, that's the assumption of the law, right? So he can't and is not supposed to make those value judgments. Whether or not this guy's a wife beater or whatever, that's immaterial. And the whole, like, way the law is structured is that the defense argues strenuously on behalf of the defense. The prosecution argues strenuously on behalf of the prosecution. And all things are melted down in the crucible of the courtroom to only the truth is left. And then that's what happens. Lawyers shouldn't be as concerned about winning and losing as about doing their best job, mm-hmm, and letting the truth decide the matter.
And it sounds like that's what he tries to do. Yeah. So. But, yeah, Kelly just has no room in her life or her heart for anybody who's not 100% perfect in her eyes.
Exactly. Anyone that does anything that she even slightly disagrees with, she's done with.
So he comes and brings her a framed photograph of the two of them together, and is like, from the time when we got along.
And at the time, she's speaking to Brandon on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, yeah, Brandon, how's New York or whatever? Oh, cool, you're having fun. And then he comes in and says something. She's like, hold on a second. And then he turns and walks away. And obviously Brandon said, who was that or whatever? And she goes, nobody. And then keeps talking to him.
Yeah, whatever. But obviously he's going to be somebody because he's in the opening credits.
Mm-hmm.
The fuck?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with this, but interesting to me.
So then we have Steve and David and what is the bitch's name again?
Sophie. Sophie's Choice.
So her and David are going at it every single night now. And she gets up in the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night.
And sneaks out to go back to Steve's house.
Yep.
Because she just wants Steve to know that she's sleeping with somebody.
Correct.
Like, what is the issue here? You're not with Steve. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. Everyone in this show makes it a bigger deal than it is.
Yeah.
Because at one point, completely separate from the storyline, Donna and Kelly, when they've got their cappuccino before they meet the lawyer, like a long, way longer ago in the story, they're walking and they're talking about Sophie, and Kelly's like, oh, she's so carefree and, like, I admire that. And were we ever like that? And blah, 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 blah. And someone says, I think it was Kelly. Kelly says something like, Steve and her are, like, you know, like, practically engaged. And Donna's like, Steve, I thought she was going out with David.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, not to hear Steve talk about it. And they're like, why? Why is that? In what way? Is this all happening off screen?
It is, obviously.
Because I haven't seen anything where it seems like Steve's like, oh, we're engaged.
Yeah. Like, is she baking him breakfast in the morning and telling him she loves him?
And why would he think that? He barely knows this person.
And they're not sleeping together.
And they're not sleeping together, and they've never been on a date.
Yeah. It's weird. So, like, when she wakes up in the morning and she's sneaking out, David's like, this is the third night in a row. Why are you sneaking out?
And she's like, something about, like, whatever. And, you know, you snore or whatever.
I can't sleep.
And he's like, yeah, it's not, it's because Steve gave you a place to live, you know, and like, whatever. She's like, she says something like, he's offered me a place to live.
That's he's why like, I'm, what if I did?
That's why I'm at. And he says, what if I did? And she goes, are you? And he just kind of looks at her and she's like, yeah, that's what I thought.
Like, yeah, that's weird. So they're like being all flirty though. Like he's DJing at the After Dark now all the time, I guess. I don't.
So he got the job apparently. He's working for a radio station, but the radio station is broadcasting live from the After Dark.
Yeah. So he's in like a enclosed glass booth, like as part of the scenery of the club.
Studio, yeah.
And he's got some guy calling into the show who like is wanting to get a girl to go out with him. And he's like, I'll call her for you. Like, it's really weird.
I got this really bad vibe that this guy was going to, like, kill this girl or whatever.
Oh, my God.
Because he just seemed like such a weird little creep.
Right.
The way he was talking. But he's like, oh, well, there's a party. You know why I asked this girl out to the party or whatever. But I can't. She doesn't even know I exist or whatever. And he's like, I'll call her for you.
Yeah.
And David keeps, like, kind of relaying, like, he's relating this situation of the guy on the phone to his situation.
Which is not the same.
No, but like, but he's like making parallels with it that we're supposed to get as audience members. And it's like, this is dumb.
So the whole show too, back in the beginning of the show, Sophie was asking them to put a webcam in the daily.
Well,
what is it called?
The Beverly Beat. She was given a job. As a columnist.
No, she was given, like, an assignment to write one article and gave herself a job as a columnist.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And she, and like, Janet hates it. Janet's pissed.
Janet hates her.
Yeah, and, like, she's wants her picture in there, and Janet's like, your picture? Like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. Is that a thing?
Columnists usually have their pictures accompanying their articles, yes.
So, like, unofficially, she's hired by Steve now. And then she gets this idea because Janet made a website for them that they're posting their articles on. She's like, nobody cares about articles. Put a webcam in here and let them watch the you know, hustle and bustle. But there is no hustle and bustle.
Right.
And she just points it at herself.
I've seen webcams and stuff like that on there's a live feed of like a zoo thing or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And
I've seen live feeds of other things, but yeah.
Oh, have you? Like what?
You know what?
Anyway, so there's some, you know, cam stuff going on the internet.
Sure.
And I know that it's somewhat popular, but I wouldn't think that someone would go to a newspaper's website and expect to see a live feed or even care to see a live feed.
Yeah, it's boring. All she's doing is writing in front of a camera. Who cares?
Like, the Free Press has a website now. I think it's freep.com. And you can go there, but they don't have, you can read some articles there and everything, but they don't have a webcam. Because why would they? Like, I want to see fucking Bob Wojnowski, clacking at his typewriter. Right. Who gives a shit?
But she tells David she wants to interview him for an article she's writing and gets him to come to her desk.
Well, they
at nighttime.
Yeah, they go to the club first.
Okay,
when he's doing the whole DJing thing.
Yeah,
she walks in with Steve and he's all pissed off and everything. And he's like, they have several conversations throughout this episode where he's like, you should tell Steve, or I'm sick of sneaking around and everything and stuff. And so they have this very veiled conversation where David's like, yeah, this girl called me and she, you know, her and her girlfriend, like the same guy, and she's going out with him. But like, I, you know, should she tell her or whatever? But it's basically the exact same situation. And Steve's like, oh, I say if he goes, is there any chance that the guy will go out with the other girl? And he goes, no. And he's like, yeah, then why add insult to injury or whatever? Don't even worry about it.
So she gets David into her office.
Into her clutches.
And they start talking and they have a whole conversation on the webcam. Now, Steve doesn't see this, but they have a whole conversation he could have seen.
Yeah, they
about, you know, what they've been doing, the sneaking around
and all that stuff, and Steve's oblivious and all that shit and everything. And I'm thinking to myself, that webcam's still on?
Yeah.
Like, why? Why is that webcam 24 hours?
Yeah, it's stupid. Like, that place is empty, like, probably, like, 16 hours a day.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's on. And they start making out. And then David's like, hey, the camera. Like, you didn't care about the camera when you're having this whole conversation, but you care now.
Right.
And she's like, that's okay. She takes off her shirt and throws it at the camera.
Right.
So it's supposed to be covered.
But then, of course, it does the
it slides.
Slow fall down.
So they're fucking on the desk.
Yeah, they fuck on the desk.
In front of the camera.
Full view of the camera. When it was over, don't you think that they saw that the you camera got uncovered? Think. But and anyway, Steve's at his house.
He gets a midnight snack and sits down to go look at the... Why are you checking the live feed when you know nobody is supposed to be there?
Yeah, when it's fucking 3 o'clock in the morning. Because Steve or David says it's 3 o'clock in the morning when he comes in there. Like, well, not when he comes inside her, but when they start talking. Yeah, like, it should just be black.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, instead, they're lucky. He's probably the only person that saw it, because nobody would be watching this.
Right. But instead, he sees everything.
So he shows up at David's house in the morning.
This is the best scene of the episode.
It really is.
And Ian Ziering, you're my new hero. Best acting in the entire episode.
But yeah, he shows up with boxes full of Sophie's stuff. And he's like, you wanted her, you got her, here she goes.
Here's Sophie's choice.
Yeah.
He opens the door. David opens the door. And he shoves all the shit into these two boxes. He's like, what's this? He's like, it's all Sophie's stuff. When you see her, tell her she doesn't have a place to live anymore. And he walks out. And then Sophie comes out. And David's like, oh, you know, I meant to tell you, like, I was trying to find a way to tell you. He's like, we're sleeping together. That wasn't fucking hard, was it? And he's like, oh, I know, like, you know, we didn't handle it or whatever. And then Steve's like, really seemed pretty smooth to me last night when you were on the thing last night. He mimes the, like, fucking with his arms and the hip thrust. It's so awesome. And then the best line is, he looks at the two things and he's like, well, there it is. It's not much, but it's all yours now. And he's talking about Sophie.
Yeah. So, and then Sophie is, like, about to take her stuff in David's house. And
yeah,
he's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, she's just like, well, I guess I'm here now, huh?
Yeah, and she's like, an invitation would be really nice right about now. And instead, David goes off on her and makes her feel like a fucking whore.
Yeah.
So she ends up going to sleep in front of the web camera in her office.
Yeah, staring at the webcam. Like, she's weirdly obsessed with being watched.
Yeah, well, she wants to be famous, remember?
Yeah. So
I think she's hoping Steve will see it and feel sorry for her.
Probably. So, or David, one of the two.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Or just some random guy, I guess.
Yeah. Somebody give me a home.
She'll go with anybody.
She's like, you know, a sad puppy in the puppy pound. Yeah.
So David basically does call her a whore, which she says.
Mm-hmm.
And she is. And she's obviously been manipulating everybody to try to get stuff that she wants and everything. However, David is really shirking his responsibility in this.
No, I don't think that it was right of him to treat her that way, because he has chosen to be involved with her knowing that Steve didn't know and everything.
Exactly.
And he's been a willing participant in the whole thing.
Exactly.
So when it all came falling down, he shouldn't be like, now get out and be homeless.
Yeah.
I mean, I really think he should have let her stay with him.
Yeah, I mean, that's debatable. But I think he needs to take personal responsibility for what he did.
Yeah.
He's trying to place it all on her, like, oh, you're the whore temptress or whatever. And it's like, no, you lied to your friend.
Yeah.
You deceived your friend for this time. Like, again, I think it would have made a lot more sense if they were officially dating.
Yeah.
If she was using him in a more direct way.
And then the final story.
Oh, my God.
This is so awful. Valerie and her mom.
Yeah. Poor Michelle Phillips.
That guy, the husband, whatever his name was.
Yeah, I don't know.
Shows up at you know, Valerie's work.
No. What are you talking about? They're having lunch together. That's how it all starts. They're eating lunch at a restaurant.
Who?
The cop and Valerie and her mom, but her mom's in the bathroom.
Oh,
and the cop's like, oh, fucking, I'm thinking about you all the time. And so touching myself thinking about you and I want you or whatever.
Yeah, so I don't remember that scene at all.
She doesn't. He doesn't say that he's touching himself. Okay. But he's like, I keep thinking about Las Vegas and stuff like that. And he's clearly flirting with her. And she's like, yeah, leave it alone. Mm-hmm. You know, get the fuck away or whatever. And then her mom comes out of the bathroom. And she's like, oh, I'm so happy. My you know, whatever. My great guy and, like, whatever. And then the mom comes and visits her at the After Dark. And she's like, he's left me. He and she's like, what are you talking about? Like, he left to go to his house? And she's like, no, he wants an annulment. He wants the marriage over with. He's leaving me. This is awful. Did he seem sad to you at lunch? He said ask you why he's leaving.
Which was really shitty of him. Mm-hmm. So then she's like, no, I don't know anything. Then he shows up at her work.
Yes.
And he's trying to, like, get her to be with him. And he's like, you know, we had something. That's the only reason I slept with you. And she's like, no, we didn't.
Yeah. She's like, look, I thought I was going to die. And I tried to lead a decent life. And the second I knew I was going to be okay, I fucked over my mom's marriage. you know, I'm an awful person. And you're lucky we don't have anything that together. So right. just leave. Just extract yourself from this situation. And I mean, you know, he did get to sleep with Michelle Phillips and Valerie, so yeah. I guess that's a win in his book.
But then she does the stupidest, worst thing ever in the whole world and tells her mother.
That she slept with...
Carl.
Carl, yeah. That she slept with Carl.
And
she's like, no, you didn't. She was like in Vegas, yeah.
And then her mom's like, you are so messed up.
Yeah. She was like, you hate me that much that you would do that. And she was like... She goes, she basically says, like, I didn't seduce him, like, I looked his way and he looked mine, essentially. Mm-hmm. She did.
She did seduce
him. She completely seduced him. And I don't know why. Like, it's still not really explained.
Well, no, because her mom's like, you hated me that much. And she's like, you knew I was being abused. You didn't do anything to stop it. This is revenge. She did this to hurt her mother.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess it is true, yeah.
And, I mean, and, oh, shoot, I had been trying to say something in my brain.
Oh, just, no. Oh, no, your brain.
My brain left. okay, give me a second.
No, you got it. We'll all just wait. Talk amongst yourselves.
No, but she said to her mother.
Yeah.
Like, or no, her mother said to her, like, you're so messed up. And she's like, yeah, sleeping with your dad will do that to you.
Mm, yeah.
And there was more.
Oh, yeah, she goes, she's like, you know, she says, like, you fucking hated me or whatever. And she's like, you knew about it. And mm-hmm. she goes, why didn't you do anything when you knew about it? And she goes, as soon as I found out about it, I insisted that he get help. And she goes, but you didn't stop it. Mm-hmm. And she goes,
yeah, she should have kicked him out of the house.
And she goes, I tried or whatever. She's like, well, I did more than try. I did.
She's like, it didn't stop.
I stopped him. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what are you talking about? And she goes, he didn't kill himself. I killed him.
Yeah, she told her mom that. Like, why would you make her hate you by telling her you slept with her husband and then tell her you killed your father?
Yeah.
So she has something to hold over you? Mm-hmm. And so then she comes back at her later and she's like, you know, I'm going to press charges or whatever.
Well, she's like, they're arguing about it and she's like, it was self-defense or whatever. He got what he deserved. She goes, what he did was wrong, but what you did was wrong too, which I disagree.
Yeah, and she's like, well, a jury will have to see about that or something.
She's like, I'm not turning myself in. She goes, well, you better, because if you don't, I will.
Yeah.
But my question is, with what evidence? Like, Valerie has no trouble lying, you know? Mm-hmm. She could easily, if her mom, like, says, hey, she killed him. She told me. Valerie could easily say in court, yeah, her husband fucked me before they got married. Like, the day before they got married, and she's mad at me, and that's why she's doing this? I never said that to her. Because if she doesn't confess, where is the evidence?
Yeah.
The guy's been dead for years.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I don't think her mom can really do anything to her.
No.
But I think it was kind of shitty to tell her. I think it was kind of shitty to sleep with her husband and to tell her. Like, I get being mad at your
mom. The whole thing's revenge.
But just, you know, kick her out of your life or whatever. Like, you got to destroy her.
Yeah, well, that's how she is, you know.
So, yeah. That was really sad.
That was very sad.
The whole thing was sad.
But that is where we end the episode.
So, you know, happy fun, lighthearted 90210.
Right, no shit. So we'll see what happens in the next episode. We'll see what's going on with Brandon. We'll see with everything else. I don't know.
I would like to see one person happy. Just one.
Well, maybe Jason Priest will be happy getting the fuck off this sinking ship.
Maybe.
But anyway, Carol, why don't you tell the people where they can get on our sinking ship?
All right, so you can write us at latefee1994@AOL.com.
Yeah, check out our Patreon that my buddy put up for us. It's patreon.com/retrolatefee. Hopefully he'll get other people on there as well at some point.
Check out our website at www.retrolatefee.com.
Yes.
And share the tapes with your friends.
Oh, we'll see you next time.
Bye.